too disempowered. There's not just the flat world and the unflat world. Many people live in the twilight zone between the two. Among these are the people I call the too disempowered. They are healthy people who live in countries with significant areas that have been flattened, but who don't have the tools or the skills or the infrastructure to participate in any meaningful or sustained way. Being flat is good but full of pressure. Being unflat is awful and full of pain. But being half-flat has its own special anxiety. We saw how big and how angry this group can be in the spring of 2004 Indian national elections, in which the ruling BJP was surprisingly tossed out of office, despite having overseen a surge in India's growth rate, largely because of the discontent of rural Indian voters with the slow pace of globalization outside the giant cities. These rural voters, peasants and farmers, who form the bulk of India's population, just had to spend a day in any nearby big city to see the benefits of the flat world. The cars, the houses, the educational opportunities. At the same time, these rural Indians understood at gut level exactly why it was not happening for them. Because local governments in India have become so eaten away by corruption and mismanagement that they cannot deliver to the poor the schools and infrastructure they need to get a fair share of the pie. The Congress Party got the message, which was why as soon as it took office, it chose as its prime minister not some anti-globalizer, but Manmohan Singh, the former Indian finance minister, who in 1991 first opened the Indian economy to globalization, placing an emphasis on exports and trade and reform wholesale. And Singh, in turn, pledged himself to vastly increase government investments in rural infrastructure and to bring more reform retail to rural government. How can outsiders collaborate in this process? I think, first and foremost, they can redefine the meaning of global populism. If populists really want to help the rural poor, the way to do it is not by burning down McDonald's and shutting down the IMF and trying to put up protectionist barriers that will unflatten the world. That will help the rural poor not one iota. It has to be by refocusing the energies of the global populist movement on how to improve local government, infrastructure, and education in places like rural India and China, so the populations there can acquire the tools to collaborate and participate in the flat world. The global populist movement, better known as the anti-globalization movement, has a great deal of energy, but up to now, it has been too divided and confused to effectively help the poor in any meaningful or sustained manner. It needs a policy lobotomy. Ramesh Ramanathan, the Indian-born former Citibank executive who returned to India to lead an NGO called Janagraha, dedicated to improving local governance, is precisely the kind of new populist I have in mind. In India, he said, clients of public education are sending a signal about the quality of service delivery. Whoever can afford to opt out does so. The same goes for healthcare. Given the escalating costs of healthcare, if we had a solid public healthcare system, most citizens would opt to use it, not just the poor. Ditto for roads, highways, water supply, sanitation, registration of births and deaths, crematoria, driver's licenses, and so on. Wherever the government provides these services, it should be for the benefit of all citizens. But, in fact, in some of these, like water supply and sanitation, the poor are actually not even getting the same basic services as the middle class and the rich. The challenge here is therefore universal access. Getting NGOs that can collaborate on the local level to ensure that the poor get the infrastructure and the budgets to which they are entitled could have a major impact on poverty alleviation. What the world doesn't need now is for the anti-globalization movement to go away. We just need it to grow up. This movement had a lot of energy and a lot of mobilizing capacity. What it lacked was a coherent agenda for assisting the poor by collaborating with them in a way that could actually help them. The activist groups that are helping alleviate poverty the most are those working at the local village level in places like rural India, Africa, and China to spotlight and fight corruption and to promote accountability, transparency, education, and property rights. It may not be as sexy as protesting against world leaders in the streets of Washington and Genoa and getting lots of attention on CNN, but it is a lot more important. Just ask any Indian villager.